You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. 2 hat tricks in 4 games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats?
Hodgepodge.
Yeah, there's a Modge Podge. Whole Modge Podge of rumors.
This is a transfer Modge Podge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on SiriusXMFC, Channel 85 at MLSsoccer.com. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me, David Goss, and the one, the only, Kalen Carr, Profe, in the house, MLS Cup Edition, boys. How you feeling to be back with us, Kalen?
I am so excited to be back here. I don't know what happened. I don't know if Doyle got locked in the analyst den, or he lost signal, or whatever it is. But I'm going to take my opportunity.
I didn't want to say this, but Taquito got a little upset, and Doyle is recovering. Because
Taquito's his dog?
It's his cat.
His cat. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doyle's a crazy cat, dude.
General Sal tried to hold off Taquito, but it just didn't happen. He got back from MLS Cup, got back on the red eye.
Wow.
It's tough.
Cat props.
It's really tough. You should definitely send your condolences to Doyle at Armchair Analyst, or excuse me, at MLS Analyst, I guess it is on Twitter. But look, this is the MLS Cup edition because we have a champion, guys. 2016 is over, and yet it is also just beginning, at least 2017 is. But the Seattle Sounders, their first ever MLS Cup. I'm sure you watched the game on Saturday night in Toronto at BMO Field. The 21st MLS Cup of all time, the 8th season in Seattle Sounders history. They lift the trophy. They don't register a shot on goal. So we will talk about that and about the concept that maybe they didn't deserve this, as some people in Toronto are saying, in the aftermath of this very, very, very cold game.
I just want to establish it took a minute and a half for Wiebe to get to the fact that a team won a championship, but they didn't deserve it.
What are you trying to say here? Matt Doyle is on his deathbed from Taquito-related injuries that I completely made up off the top of the show, and this is how you treat me?
Yeah, for sure, dude.
This is not right.
For sure, because I know Seattle Sounders fans right now are so annoyed that you
said Seattle
there.
Founders?
Yeah.
I think we'd be just trying to drive traffic to his Did Seattle Deserve the Championship article, which you can find, by the way, on MLSsoccer.com.
Wow.
I will plug it for you.
You are learning. You are learning, Mr. Kalen Carr. Yeah. Let's talk about MLS Cup, guys. It's the game. It's the big one. It's what it's all coming down to in this league. It's what you want to lift. It's where you want to be. The Seattle Sounders came into this one, and, you know, it seemed like I said it was 60-40 before the game. I thought the home field advantage would really give Toronto FC a lift, and the environment was incredible. 36,045 fans, a new BMO Field record. It was very, very cold. It was the second coldest MLS Cup on record. 2013 in Kansas City remains colder, and I can attest that that one was indeed colder than this game. I spent the entire game outside, but it was a back-and-forth game that, you know, Toronto will look back on and say, we missed a bunch of chances. And I don't know if a bunch is the right way, but 4 or 5 good chances that they had opportunities in. And they had the ball, they had the pressure, they had the better of the opportunities. Seattle really struggled to create just about anything in this game, but they were staunch defensively, and Stephon Fry made what is probably the best save of any MLS Cup of all time. I mean, an incredible behind-the-back reaching save to paw Jozy Altidore header out of the top.
Man.
Yeah, it was behind him. It was behind his back.
Oh. Like,
yeah,
I was
wasn't
like a basketball pass.
Yeah.
Like, what, is he putting his arm behind
his back? If he just, like, styled on it, he just, like, was like, oh, behind the back.
Jorge Campos style.
That'd be pretty sweet. Yeah, I'd be down with that.
Hey,
little
fun fact. Did you guys know, where did Stephon Fry go to college? Anybody?
I don't know. Probably not a good college.
Stanford?
Wherever it is.
UCLA?
Berkeley, USC?
Berkeley. Go Bears.
Okay.
And I remember.
What's your number one rival?
There's a lot of.
Did they win a national title this weekend?
No, Stanford did.
Wow.
I know.
That,
yeah,
that one
checking.
Hurts. Yeah.
Just checking.
But a lot of. They did win an MLS Cup. And a lot of former Cal goalkeepers, of course, throughout MLS. He's one of them. And there was a drill that our goalkeeper coach used to do where he brings out these pads, and it's like a very strange drill, but it encouraged you to work on like your diving technique.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no pad on this one, but I've seen Steph was a senior, a freshman when I was a senior at Berkeley. I've seen him do that one time and time
Geezer.
Again. But I know, old man Carr, yeah. but it was cool to see, and he was the MVP, so I've got a little extra bit of pride for his performance.
Couldn't tell. Stephon Fry, as he said, the MVP of this game. Of course, it came down to penalty kicks. And Flaco Fernandez missed his for Seattle, Michael Bradley missed his for Toronto. The rest of them were very, very good, but then it came down to Justin Morrow. And I didn't think about this, Dave, until you mentioned it on the flight.
I thought about it right when it happened.
Do we think that's an ETR curse? Because Justin Morrow, with the game on the line, hits the crossbar. Then Roman Torres, big Roman Torres, El Gigante de los Sounders, comes up and finishes it. Is this a curse?
I don't think it is. You know why? Because we've had more Sounders players on, I think, than
that's
Toronto
true.
Players.
We had Jordan Morris, and he didn't play his best game.
Wait, please explain.
You didn't know about the ETR curse.
I mean, I've heard bits and pieces, but I didn't know exactly.
You're
what
suffering
you
from it permanently, because you could
guess.
Has
it been a little bit downhill for you in life since?
When
you started
was the last time you won
us?
A rec league New York City championship?
Oh man, I haven't gotten one.
And you've been working on this show since you got here.
Quite a while. Yeah.
What's that say? What's that say to you?
Wow.
It's tough.
Wow, I thought it was just this old knee.
Oh, boy. Let's
now I know who to blame.
Let's talk about the game here, guys. It was cagey. I think that's the nice way to say it. At times, it was a little bit ugly, and the pace, I especially thought in the first 30 minutes or so, was disjointed, and things weren't moving especially quickly, but it was below freezing. It was very, very cold. The field was a little bit tough for everybody to deal with, and nobody was trying to take chances in this game. Remember, a goal might have changed things, especially with Seattle unable to create much of anything. There was intensity, though. There was a lot of intensity. There were a lot of moments of conflict, let's call it, between both sides. Nelson Valdez in the middle of a lot of those moments. Michael Bradley wading in from time to time. Kalen, when you look at this final, you look at what went down over 120 minutes. You look at penalty kicks. What stands out to you? What's the lasting memory here?
Just that save, really.
Just the save?
Yeah, just the save and then penalty kicks. I mean, when you go through the game, I thought there was going to be goals in this game because both teams have good attacks. And what happened was I thought if there was an early goal, which there almost was with that Altidor chance early on.
Yeah, very, very early.
I think that would have changed the complexion of the game, of course. But then it got a little bit cagey. You know, I think Seattle especially, seemed content to keep possession of the ball and control it, which I think in stretches they did. Ozzie Alonso and Christian Roldan did a good job of sort of managing the game. But any chance they got forward, especially as the game went on, you saw how one-dimensional Seattle was, where it was basically just Jordan up there by himself. And I don't think he had a bad game by any means. I think for what he was asked to do, I thought he actually did well to hold the ball up several times, try and bring his teammates into play. But there was just a huge gap where it was, you know, nine guys behind him and then him alone up top. And that was tough. And then on the other side, Toronto, they just weren't effective enough on the break. You know, that was how it was going to happen. And they had a couple opportunities, especially late and moving on in the second half, where Seattle looked tired in the back.
Yep.
Chad Marshall and Roman Torres were fantastic throughout the match, but both looked tired at stretches. And there were moments where they had 3-on-2 situations or a number advantage and weren't able to find that right pass.
Ricketts, Toussaint Ricketts, that is, flashed one by the right post. That was a great chance for them off the volley. Stephen Fry in that situation, I thought, was out of position and got fortunate that didn't go on frame, because I think he would have had a hard time saving that one. Of course, the Josie Altidore header. You had a couple chances. Giovinco smashed a volley directly into Roman Torres' face in the first half. That looked like it had a chance had he got it on frame. Josie had the one that flashed wide. Giovinco had the one on the right channel that he just couldn't get across of and hit into the side netting. There wasn't any in here that was just a glaring miss of any sort. But
that Giovinco chance in the opening 10 minutes. I mean, there was the two chances in the opening 10 minutes. Yeah. So my issue with TFC, and you were talking about not being effective, was they didn't switch field quick enough. They didn't move from left to right quick enough, and I thought that was their advantage, right? They have the two additional fullbacks that come forward. If they were quick to switch the field and open up the field of play, and there was a few times with like Amando Cooper or Josie beat someone in the middle, and then started floating right when Justin Morrow basically had his own side of the field. And then I think everyone in the stadium saw late in the game, Josie was like by himself on the right side of the field, and Cheyrou couldn't find him two times in a row. And then one of the times, Cheyrou lost the ball, got it back, and Josie was still open. So they just didn't open up play enough, and Seattle's playing compact. I mean, that's your advantage. That's your opportunity there. And you could see that Schmetzer wanted TFC's back line to try and beat them. And they wanted Zavaleta and Haglund to be on the ball.
Haglund in particular.
Dude, I'm looking at the pass chart right now. So I was down on the field listening to Schmetzer.
And we're going to get this story here, old white gloves here.
For sure. But Schmetzer was basically telling them to press as the ball cycled, and then once it got to Hagelin's feet, he had them drop off, and he let Nick Hagelin try and pass through them. And I'm looking at the red lines right now going forward for number six for Toronto, and it's ugly.
Yeah, it's not good. This is not the playoffs. Red lines are not good in this sense. You don't want those. Yeah, I mean, look, they took away those easy rotational passes out of the back to the, both the fullbacks. Yep. Morris and Lodeiro in those moments, they got in the block, they pushed out wide, and they said, hey, put it in the middle of the field, and more often than not, they weren't able to complete. I did think that Toronto were at their best when Michael Bradley was the one dictating play, and especially when he was doing the thing he likes to do, which is that little one-time switch or the ball into space and then the diagonal ball. That's when they started to get into space. That's when they had opportunities. They just couldn't convert. And I thought Jordan Morris, I would have liked to see him get in behind a couple more times. It seemed like, you're right, they want him to hold the ball up, but I wanted to see two or three times him check in as if he's going to get the ball and then just spin off a shoulder.
But you need a second runner for that. Because
yeah, no,
if,
true.
If it's
true.
Just
and
him,
Valdez is not really that guy, and Lodeiro didn't have a very good game. Can I just throw that out there? I thought he was not tidy in this game, and he was not all that effective for the most part. He had a couple little moments, and he wanted to get on the ball. You could see that, but he didn't have the quality that we've seen in the playoffs.
But the thing about him and the thing we've complimented is he's a number 10 that grinds, and he grinded out there. And he was a part of everything else that happened, right? He defended. He stayed in position.
Sure, but the quality is still a big part of that equation.
But did anyone on the field have quality? Of the 22?
Sure, that's a good question. But if you have a little bit, maybe you don't have to go to PKs.
No, I think when you look at him and Javinko, both those guys, you knew they were going to have to face physical play under tough conditions. And they both spent most of the time on the ground. You know, and Toronto FC got a bunch of free kicks from that early in the match and weren't able to capitalize to put dangerous chances on goal. Lodeiro, I think you're right, spent a lot more time doing the dirty work defending than being able to, because really when it comes down to their attack, what worked in the playoffs was him and Jordan. And of course, Valdez would contribute with maybe a hold up play here and there, or Christian Roldan would be able to push forward. But it was those two are basically the fulcrum of that attack. And he wasn't able to get advanced and close to Jordan as they would have liked. But they're on the road in MLS Cup trying to survive. So part of that is to be expected.
They did survive here, and they went to penalty kicks. And there were some good penalty kicks in this match. Josie Altidore had a very good one to start. They go on and on and on. And you see guys like Jovan Jones, Lodeiro, you know, plug it top corner. Michael Bradley is the save here. Flaco Fernandez also saved. His was poor as well. But we won't remember his, of course, because they won. So he got a little bit of a get-out-of-jail-free card there. But Michael Bradley, I thought, had maybe one of his best games in MLS. It wasn't spectacular going forward. We've established that. But I felt like he was everywhere. He's a big reason why Lodeiro's not getting opportunities. He's a big reason why Valdez, Morris, all these guys aren't getting the ball in the places they want, and his distribution was really good. And then to have that penalty be basically, other than, of course, Justin Morrow hitting the post, but they could have won it had he made that one. That's got to stick with him. That's got to be really, really painful. This is a guy, I think, understood the legacy aspect here, understood how much it meant to him, to the club, to his career, to the perception of him, for them to win this game in Toronto at home. And a guy that there's been some rumors about, Dave, don't laugh here, perhaps leaving in the off season. What is it?
Laughing at him leaving.
No.
AC Milan,
yeah, he thinks I ask the Roma question, or not the Roma, the AC Milan question far too often. But I'm curious, man. As a player, have you ever experienced something like that? Like where you feel like maybe a big part of the loss is on your hands? How do you think Michael's felt over the last couple of days?
Terrible, because he is a leader of that team, and a steward of the club, wants them to do well. You can see I was up there for all of their playoff matches, actually, and you can see, especially afterwards in his press conferences, when he's talking, he's not just saying the right things. He's saying it because he believes it. He has really bought into this project and been a leader for the club. But I don't think, as far as his legacy goes, this game has any effect on him. I mean, this, if you look at the context of this club, they've been in the dumps for 10 years.
You don't think so?
His legacy?
And I'm not saying just because of the PK. I'm just saying you lose MLS Cup at home. You don't know if you're going to get back. This could be the one big opportunity for them to lift that trophy. If he doesn't get another chance, he doesn't get one.
I just don't know if MLS is at the point where, if you don't get an MLS, it's like the NBA, where it's like, right, if LeBron doesn't get a trophy for Cleveland, that he's no longer one of the greatest of all time. I think we're still at a place, and I think it will change, but I think we're still at a place where his performance with the national team in the World Cup is probably the whole picture, but that's probably number one. Not bringing Toronto FC a championship right now is probably not going to define his legacy, at least for me.
I'm not saying define, but I do think it will be a part of it, and I think he will especially be dwelling on it because he's talked about how important it is to him to win a club trophy, to be that guy, to be the captain. He signed on to this project, and you're 100% right, to bring them up from the bottom, and he's done that. But they had an opportunity to elevate this club to a place it can't even imagine, really. I mean, the amount of momentum that they had in these playoffs, everything that's gone their way, Giovinco coming in, being the best player in the league, the new stadium.
I just think he's done so much. He's done everything he can. Like, the guy did everything he could.
And all of that.
He missed a penalty, but I think when you're looking more at legacy, I would say that might affect someone more like a Giovinco, who's come from abroad and only has a limited sort of span of context or memory.
Right, his window within U.S. soccer, North American
soccer. How do you remember
Giovinco
here? I think that might affect him.
Well, I just think none of those things change. All of it's true, right? Toronto's success, everything that's happened. Like he said, the club was in the dumps, and now it's where it is now. What's unfortunate is this was a city that wanted a title. And a city that needed a title, and it would have put TFC on new standing because it would have put them in that stratosphere of the pro teams in that city. They were the ones that finally brought a title after 23 years. So the Maple Leafs are God. You have the Raptors. You have the Blue Jays, which are all stand here. And TFC's big in that city, but it would have put them on another level. And I can say that from talking to people in the city throughout was – We got to win this. This has to happen this week.
I never put much stock into, oh, hey, we got here. You know, I said the same thing at the last round when it was like we were looking at what Colorado Rapids, what their turnaround meant for the club and the city. But I said the same thing. You get to a Western Conference championship at home and you don't get a chance to host MLS Cup and they don't get it. That's still not a success for me. But I do think, to Goss's point, that playing for a championship, hosting a championship, hosting the first ever Canadian championship for MLS is a big deal for the city, and you could feel the buzz. I mean, being at that Montreal game, being at the Philly game, being at the final, I do think that changed things going forward for them.
There was only one winner, though. That's the Seattle Sounders. They celebrated it with about 1,500 to 2,000 of their own fans there at the stadium, tucked up in the corner. They were loud all night, did a great job supporting their team, probably on pins and needles because, as we've said, Seattle didn't exactly blow up the spot with scoring opportunities. They were weathering the storm at times and not creating a ton, but PKs got it done. Roman Torres led the parade of giddy Sounders down to the corner. They celebrated. They lifted the cup.
He was also phenomenal in the game. I just don't want it to come down to he made a PK.
Right.
He won a ton of balls that he read early out of the back. I think he didn't control Josie, but he didn't let Josie back him up. I thought he was phenomenal. I thought him and Chad Marshall were the two best field players, and then he made the PK.
Okay.
I just don't want him to be, reduced to a penalty kick.
You even watching the game? Or are you just looking at the stats, all right?
Yeah, Torres was unbelievable.
Yeah, massive.
He was a force all game.
Brian Schmetzer told a story afterward in which Roman basically has been trying to convince his teammates that he was a striker growing up in Panama, which, you know, could definitely be true. But they also said that he was bricking PKs in training leading up and was like, oh, don't worry, I got it. No, guys, hey, I'm going to get this.
The one thing that I will say about him is – I think he's changed the complexion of the club in the locker room because you see him dancing after the games. You see the energy. He's singing.
By the way,
Spanish.
He cleared out an area to dance in front of the entire fan base as they were all celebrating over there, and they all danced with him. It was an amazing moment. I spent about an hour just kind of hanging out with the Sounders on the field as they were celebrating just to kind of soak in a feeling that I'll never feel.
Well, he's the type of guy you'd want to hang out with, though, right?
Yeah, like,
he's larger-than-life personality on the field. And I think when you're making a run or going on the road and this team, people have written them off for dead for so long. And to have a guy like him who just brings that life to the group, entering into a huge match like this, I feel like is invaluable.
And to go along with the things that have happened, you know, so Seattle, July 21st, they're out of it. And then it's moved forward. Lodeiro came, but you lose Dempsey. Jordan Morris, while he was a leader for this team, is a kid. And so you lost Clint Dempsey, who was your leader. Lodeiro comes in, plays phenomenal, but is serious. That's what he brought to it, this winning mentality. You needed someone who was the emotional flair in the locker room, and I think Roman Torres became that. And Roman Torres' reemergence, Garth Lagerwey said, everyone has said, along with Lodeiro's addition, I think were the two big pieces moving forward.
I mean, they just lost one game when he and Chad Marshall were partnered together. So that's a good sign for next season for the Sounders as they attempt to defend this title. By the way, the Sounders on Tuesday here will have their parade, which is going to be awesome in Seattle. It's going to start at 11 a.m. Eastern. They're going to march from Westlake Park down 4th Avenue. They're going to go rally on the Fisher Lawn.
Pacific.
Yeah, my bad. That's I'm just stuck, you know,
Pacific,
New York bias, East Coast bias, my bad. Then they're going to have a rally there underneath in the shadow of the Space Needle at Fisher Lawn. It's going to be really cool. You should check MLSsoccer.com for all the images, all the coverage, I should say. Very, very good. But this meant so much to this fan base, ugly or not. And that you mentioned my column, and that was kind of the point of my column, was like, afterwards, everybody, cough, cough, Kurt Larson, my guy, you know, saying this was stolen, this wasn't deserved. Toronto FC fans just upset because they didn't get it, and obviously there were no shots on goal. Well, it doesn't matter what you deserve, and there's not going to be an asterisk, and nobody's going to look back at this in 10 years and be like, yeah, well, they just weren't that good. They're just going to say they won it. So Seattle get their first. They follow up the Portland Timbers. I mean, this is a special moment for a franchise that has been waiting for this for a long, long time. What did you get the feeling? What do you feel like it means to them? I mean, I know we're not down in the trenches. We're not a fan. We're not a supporter. We're not a member of the front office. But it's a big moment for one of the biggest clubs in MLS.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I mean, when I think, you know, we were working with Siggy Schmidt over the trip, and you feel for him because he was a big part of building this team, mm-hmm. specifically.
His son got that
club.
Bonus, though, by the way. Got that bonus.
What's up with those bonuses? Yeah, that's what it's all about. No,
I didn't get a bonus.
But I think Schmetzer as well, you could feel – I sat in the press conferences throughout his matches as well, and he almost started crying after the Western Conference Championship to be able to – when he mentioned the fans, that's when he's like, these fans deserve it more than anybody. And sometimes you hear about the connection between the club and the fans, and you're supposed to say the right
things.
Yeah,
it's like lip service.
Yeah, it's
right.
Like, you know, they're the lifeblood of our club. But you could tell, I mean, he played in those Sounders teams when he was
– And I saw he played indoors in Seattle.
Won championships with them, and it's so he's lived that drought. He's also lived the great times. I've had friends who played for him in the A League before they came up to MLS. Sat, bided his time, helped the club, you know. But for him, I think you could see how much a title like this means. He was the vehicle for me to understand what it could mean for the city.
And he brought this team together. There's no doubt about that. Look, we've established the fact that you bring in Nick Sodero, you get Roman Torres back. You go get, you know, a guy like Flacco, and you kind of get your things going.
Odd timing to say.
Look, he didn't have his best game in the final, but he contributed down the stretch. You know, he had all these little boosts, but ultimately, I think that they needed a change, and I think Siggy maybe would admit this as well. Although I don't think I would want to ask him that question face to face. But he came in and he said, look, it's on the players. It's on you guys.
I think he would just say he could use Ladero.
Yeah, he would. He probably would. He said, it's on you guys. Take responsibility for this season. And he kind of revitalized that locker room. And at least that's what all these guys were saying in the lead up to this game. And then you watch him and the way he interacts with the team, and you can see that. He's not a domineering presence. He's a guy that says, hey, you're all men. You're all professionals.
He's a yeller.
Go get it done.
I didn't know that.
Really?
He's a big-time yeller.
Big during the game?
Off the bench the entire game. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
I would never have thought, because he's like your quiet uncle. That's what he's like when you're interviewing him.
Yeah, no, I was surprised. He was up off that bench the whole game, not directing, but like up with the players.
Interesting.
Talking to them. He starts the game in the back row. So you're like, he's just going to hang out. 2 minutes in, the guy's off the bench. Doesn't sit down the rest
down.
Of the game. Yeah.
Just jetting down. Anyway, you see him in the locker room. He's not in the middle of it. He's standing to the side, sipping a beer, just kind of – you know, letting his guys
That's who do guys want to play for, though.
Yeah.
You want to play for the guy who deflects the credit, and he did that constantly. You know, talking about Christian Roldan. He was thanking reporters in the press conference for asking about Christian Roldan because he's like, I can't tell you how much I love this kid. And I think that's one of the other interesting side notes when you look at the Sounders now versus the Sounders of old, is they got beat last year in the playoffs by an FC Dallas team that had committed to going young and were able to kind of run them off the pitch with just speed and youthful energy in a lot of ways. And this year, now they've committed to having a Christian Roldan play next to Nazi, learn from him, and they're going to benefit from that for years to come, mm-hmm. having a Jordan Morris. But they had that youth in the squad, Jovan Jones, some of these guys. And I think that's – when you look at MLS Cup champions now – it's exciting for me to see that, hey, you need young players to play and contribute in meaningful roles if you want to win an MLS Cup.
Yeah, You also need some war horses, too. You mentioned Ozzie Alonso. We haven't really talked about him. I thought he had a very, very good game. A lot of people saying coming into this, he was at 60%. That strained or twisted or whatever it was left knee. He had 8 injections in that knee on Saturday. 4 before the game, 4 at halftime, so he continued the second half. I didn't see the effect that those might have had. He must have powered right through it. I'm sure he's got some recovery to do throughout this offseason. I can see Kalen over here, like, kind of like, oh, yeah, he definitely does.
I just think it would have been cooler if they wouldn't have told you how many injections he had. They were just, you know, it just, like, loses the mystery of it all.
I don't know.
Give me something to dream about.
I mean, when you throw 8 out
there.
That
sounds like a ton of injections.
Really?
Yeah. Not to you, because you
said, I mean, I used to have my knee drained before every playoff game, and I guarantee you half the locker rooms, I don't want to, like, start a thing here, but everybody's dealing with something.
You going to say this to Ozzy's
and
face?
Hey, listen, Ozzy's a tough dude. Ozzy's a tough dude. I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but there's a lot of guys who are suffering through a lot.
Yeah, they definitely were, and people suffered certainly in the stands. It was very cold. My feet were freezing. Dave had some trouble there down by the cup.
That's the most pain I've ever felt. My feet.
Speaking of toughness,
yeah. No,
David Goss, folks.
Zero toughness. Zero toughness. My feet
fighting
were
three elements.
So much pain. It was so
remind
cold.
People what you were doing, by
I
the
was
way.
Standing at midfield line next to the trophy, protecting
He's
it.
He's the trophy handler.
I was protecting it.
This wasn't a bit or a part of a...
This wasn't a bit. Okay. This is actually my professional role at this tournament was the official trophy handler.
How do you apply for that? How does this happen?
You have to have... I think people here, there's a recruiting center at MLS, and they look for soft hands and good
Ooh.
Hands.
Good,
so
strong,
I think
good
time
grip.
I was like
good,
pouring
good
myself
grip.
A glass of water, and someone was like, I like your grip. I like your hand.
I was going to say it was more of... I was going to go the other way and say it was more of like an intimidation thing, like, don't touch this trophy, bro, because...
Well, then,
go
then
me.
There's a speed element. Once you get...
Yeah,
the
once the hand, the hands are like the yeah, first check
there's
mark.
A speed element. There's obviously a chase down element, ability to intimidate.
Blocking.
As well as to create firearms and then use them if necessary in that situation.
No, that's not part of it, I don't think. There's also the like knocking hands away that try to touch the cup. Because there's a rule here. You can't touch the cup. People aren't allowed.
You can't touch the cup. No one's allowed to touch it. If you've won it, technically, you can touch it. And I can't tell you can't touch it. I prefer if you didn't in those moments because then it has to be clean to some extent. D-Ro and Casey Keller touched it. Did I actually still haven't looked that up. When did Casey Keller win it?
I don't think he did.
So that was just like for the show.
Yeah, that was just like a, you know,
yeah,
part
okay.
of the event.
He's only
there.
Played in MLS for Seattle Sounders. I was correct about that. So Casey Keller got touch the cup.
Dwayne who tried to touch it that you had to knock him away? Who'd you shut down?
Mainly people that I work for in this office. So rather not like
no
the
respect.
No respect.
No respect at all. It was an incredible game. MLS Cup, the 21st, the Seattle Sounders champions in their 8th season. BMO Field, 0-0 in regulation and extra time. They go to penalties, 5-4 to the Sounders in penalties. They celebrate. They go out that night. They fly in. They didn't get stuck in airports like Dave and I did as the snow fell in Toronto the next day. By the way, that would have made this game legendary but also miserable had that
crazy,
storm.
Though.
Came in a day
hey,
earlier.
Hey, can I give a quick shout out to Hurt Gomez, by the way?
What's up? What's up?
No, I just want to congratulate him. I know he didn't play in this match, but I think he's also one of those leaders in the locker room that did a lot. And when you look back on his career, he was actually the one who reminded me this after the game. But he's won 6 titles in 12 years in his career between U.S. and Mexico.
Well, I was thinking about that when he was
he's a winner.
When he was celebrating, I was like, man, that guy's won CONCACAF Champions League, Liga MX. Like, he's won a ton.
Yeah.
But this is his first ever MLS
yeah.
Cup. Or did
no,
one in LA?
I believe in LA. I believe this is third. Right. LA. I believe he was on the Colorado Rapids team that
I
won.
I think he was too.
Wow.
And then now.
Wow.
So
all right, before
yeah, he is a winner.
Just call me the armchair analyst, guys.
Nice.
I got all the stats. What do you want?
Yeah, no, that's impressive.
Give me your lasting impression, or not lasting impression, but the moment that you'll remember, the like a special moment that people may not have seen that you were fortunate to be around. I'll start off because I want to give you guys some time to think. So I'm springing this on.
I
you.
Already have mine.
Oh, you already have
first,
it. Okay,
yeah.
I'll let you go.
Yeah. No, Canada, and it's funny because our friend was there. He worked for the team, and he said he watched me watch it because I was down there, and it's like the singer sang the first bar, I guess. And then just stuck the mic out, and like I turned around, and the crowd just starts belting, and it was like full voice, and the pride scarves up, not just in the supporters end,
yeah, scarves up everywhere,
every single part of it, and like you could feel it, and you could feel like the ground rumbling, and it was like, wow, this is, I mean, the feeling of the, and I had listened to a few speeches the night before from a few of the owners in the league about, you know, MLS 1.0, 2.0, and what TFC meant in 2007 to the league. And the Portland Timbers owners said what Sorry, the Seattle Sounders. Whoa.
Whoa.
Owners said what it meant to them because they said they came up in 08 and 09 and they followed the TFC people around to see how they did it. A downtown stadium, the full energy of it, the sort of European feel to it. Big time name players, you know, trying to get that whole thing. So to feel them host MLS Cup and the crowd be in it and all the stuff, it was on TSN and Sportsnet all
week.
Yeah,
coming full circle.
That to me was huge. The first 15 minutes, I was like, this is going to be the best thing that's ever happened of all time. And they just couldn't get a goal.
What about you, Kaelin?
Mine was, I liked the fact that MLS Cup is becoming a bigger thing. And I mean that more from an experience of being there. Like, I got to see Sean Johnson was there. Sasha Kleshin. I think a couple of these guys may have had appearances.
Hey, by the way, we did do a bunch of tapings with guys there, so you'll see those trickle out in the holiday season. Yeah. Sasha Kleshin, long interview with him. Andre Blake,
Swagadello,
Keegan Rosenberry, yeah. And CJ Sapon.
Watched the second half with Warren Cravall and the fans in the fan
Three
section.
Rivers.
Yeah, but I just think it's cool that it's becoming more of a thing. Like, I want to see MLS get to the point where MLS Cup becomes a Super Bowl-type destination for players, fans. I saw some visiting fans from the Galaxy who were obnoxious, I should add, walking around saying, I remember my first cup. And then, like, but some
call
other fans.
Call us when you're going on a race to Sais.
Yeah, some other fans from around the league, too. And I really want to see MLS take that next step where you want to be there, whether you're a player, a fan, just because the stuff around it is really fun, too.
Yeah, it is a big event. I'm gonna go on the field after the game, and we mentioned Cristiano Ronaldo. We didn't talk about his
run in extra time.
Like, full field run, just running away from people on no gas.
If he finished that, that would have been
legacy. That would have been.
He was also fouled before.
He was
didn't
fouled
go down.
Multiple times.
I'm saying, you don't go down, you don't get fouled at the end, call a foul. Though.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Reward him. Anyway, he's on the field and he's celebrating. They sent him over to do interviews because you have these flash interviews after the game. And all the family has made their way down there by then. And I'm standing there, I'm kind of walking around. And Christian turns around and it's his mom. And it's the first time they've seen each other, obviously, since the final whistle. And they just, you know, rush each other, huge hug, fall on the ground. It just. You can see how much it means. And people are like, oh, you know, Seattle don't deserve, blah, blah, blah. Cristiano Ronaldo didn't care. His mom doesn't care. Sounders don't care. That's a moment that they will remember forever. And it was a moment watching it from the outside. I just thought, man, that is distilled joy. And that's a really special moment between a son and mother. So
small little addition before we get out of here. Mm-hmm. Dwayne De Rosario's jacket. So badass.
So dope.
It was
red
sweet.
Camo, right?
Red Canadian flag TFC color camo. It was awesome.
Whoa.
Legend.
D-Row yeah. Wood.
And he
would
did an after party with Flo Rida.
Yeah.
Of course. Dude, Flo's got like an exclusive contract with MLS. He was a, you know, you.
Yeah.
Was
awesome? No, I think we
you
still,
introduced him
I know.
In San Jose.
I think we still had rollover minutes there.
Yeah, he's got good stuff coming. Seattle Sounders, MLS Cup champions for 2016. Congratulations.
There's a Canadian part of the cell phone plan. Flowride, yeah. $2 a day.
Jeez, condolences to Toronto FC. A tough result for them. One they'll look back on with regrets, but I think ultimately down the line, also some real pride and happiness for what they've accomplished this season and the run that they made. We're going to go to break. When we come back, 2016 is over, but 2017 is already beginning. The expansion draft is on Tuesday. We're going to preview who's available.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Light is tone. Yeah. My intuition is telling me there'll be better days. I sit in silence and find whenever I meditate. My fears alleviate, my tears evaporate.
Back now on Extra Time Radio. Andrew Wiebe with David Goss and Kaelin Carr. Who we gave? The Sticks.
J. Cole.
Mm.
Finally, the music improves on Extra Time. Tweet at me if you want me to take over as DJ from here on out.
Actually, in 2017, we are going to have a Spotify list that will include everything we play, but we're also going to increase the user submissions. We'll see if they can live up to David Goss's legendary place here as Extra Time Radio.
Listen,
musical expert.
If it's not hip-hop from the late 90s or anything from Hamilton, then I don't listen to it.
I agree. That's exactly how he views the musical world. Look, there was a small trade window that went down on Sunday. As I said, post-MLS Cup, things don't stop. It just ramps right up into 2017. no rest for the weary, and I'm definitely one of the weary. And there were some trades that went down that you should probably know about. And there, Joseph Greenspan, I don't know if you remember him, but Minnesota traded for him, so that's a big move for them. There was some flipping of international spots and the like, but Sean Johnson went all around the world. Well, no, he didn't. He went to Atlanta. And then Atlanta flipped into New York City FC.
Was that a Puff Daddy reference?
Was it? I don't know. Maybe that's just ingrained in my brain. Maybe
I think
Puff
I sent
just,
you
really?
A gif of All Around the World Puff Daddy like last week.
Oh, man. It must just be ingrained in there. I like that. I really like that. The deal had been done a while before the trade window opened. Sean thought he was going home. He thought he was going to Atlanta. He was going to be the starting goalkeeper for the expansion team. And it didn't work out. Atlanta flipped him to NYCFC for allocation money. That's what Chicago got in the original deal as well. But that is because it seems, and I think this is pretty close to being guaranteed at this point, that Brad Guzan is going to sign with Atlanta. I don't think you trade Sean away after trading for him immediately unless you got something on the horizon. We talked today on a conference call, Kalen and I did, to Darren Eales, Carlos Bocanegra, and Paul McDonough. I asked directly about Guzan. They said, hey, we can't talk about players under contract, but we do have the number one spot in the allocation order. So
they basically
said
yes.
Yeah, there was some hinting there, certainly. So that could go down. Tough for Sean John, but NYCFC very happy to get him. Harrison Heath headed to Orlando as well from headed to Atlanta from Orlando. Atlanta also picked up Romario Williams from Montreal. Michael Parkhurst is headed to Atlanta for GAM from Columbus, a big move. What do we think about that?
I think it's a good move for both teams. I think Parkhurst, obviously an MLS starter, if not better. Had a tough year with Columbus, but Columbus has two guys that they think that can play at center back, two guys that they spent a little bit of money on in Sauro and Nice. So I don't mind that move on either side.
He can play out of the back too, and Tata Martino is going to want to play out of the
right.
back.
And they don't have any defenders right now. That's the one. So you need something that's hard to build around. Shout out Romario Williams, though. Played Charleston Battery this year on loan from Montreal. Was a big-time goal scorer for them. No, legit. He can play.
No, I'm not saying.
He's
I wasn't doubting you. I was just
play.
Saying your expertise is
for
just
sure.
so valuable to us so, in these scenarios.
The one piece that hasn't been analyzed in this Parkhurst trade is how will he get along with Ludacris?
Do you think do you think there's an issue there?
No, I
Michael
feel
Michael Parkhurst has always been a Ludacris supporter.
Has he?
Yeah.
He's all about he's a Luda guy.
All right, cool. Yeah. Nice. Well, problem solved.
Yeah. Perfect.
Michael Parker has a very Paul Walker feel to him, so they'd get
I can kind of see.
You don't think Parkhurst wears Chucks left?
Dude,
and
just
right?
give me a fast car.
He's got,
just,
yeah.
Let's go.
He's got some
pedal to the metal. All right. The big news coming up on Tuesday in MLS. That is the expansion draft. You probably are familiar with that. Is by now, basically, the two expansion teams that come in get to make choices from other rosters. Now, the other teams in the league, the existing teams, get to protect players, which means they can't be taken. They get to protect 11 players. The rest are availably selected, although some do get automatically protected. The ones that are automatically protected, Generation Adidas players who have not graduated at the end of 2016, and then homegrown players who are on a supplemental or reserve roster. Remember, that senior roster is spots 1 through 20. And there's also some salary designations that go into all that. You can go read the roster rules at MLSsoccer.com. They can get a little bit complicated, so it's probably better for you to read those. 5 picks each for Atlanta and Minnesota United. This will go down on Tuesday. You can watch the whole thing go down live. Kalen and I will be part of the live show on the MLS Facebook page. The draft goes down at 2 p.m. Eastern, but if you tune in right around 1:30 p.m. Eastern, you can kind of be led through the process with ourselves and Russ Thaler. It ought to be a lot of fun.
We've James Riley might also contribute
yeah,
in. He's been an
he's been
expansion
picked.
Draft veteran himself.
Yes, can I tell you an unbelievable moment from MLS Cup real quick? Apparently.
Where was this in segment one?
Sorry, because this is too good because James Riley came up.
Okay.
Someone goes to me, I heard John Legend was at MLS Cup.
Oh.
Some fans took pictures with James Riley, walked away, and the person that I was talking
he's milking
to
that.
Heard them say, John Legend's here. We just took a picture with him.
We made it. MLS, we made it. We did it, guys.
It's amazing.
JL's in the house. So every team gets to protect the 11, as I said. The 5 picks, Atlanta will start it out. They got that on that coin flip at the end of the regular season, if you remember, or on decision day, I believe it was this year. But if a player is selected, that team is out. So Clint Irwin, who is unprotected here, if he gets selected, Toronto FC are out of it. You can't take any more players from Toronto FC. So there's not a possibility here that your team could just be raided. You're going to lose a player, potentially. Only 10 teams will. But it's not like
lose a
right. It's
but
not
they
like
might try and raid you in a sketchy way because there's a lot of ways. I mean, the rules here are a bit nebulous. But like, I remember when I played in Houston, they took Chingy in Montreal, but they wanted Andre Haenel.
Right.
So they held Chingy basically ransom to be like, yo, and Andre was protected. Ching wasn't, only because they're like, no one's going to take
salary,
him.
They salary. They know that he doesn't want to go
up. Yeah, he doesn't want to go up there anyways. And then it entered in this whole protracted thing where we kept Andre and we got Chingy back, but they had to give something up. So it kind of depends how gangster you want to get if you're Atlanta or Minnesota.
And we've seen Atlanta make some moves here with that Sean John trade. We're like, hey, looking out for number one.
Right,
it's all about
but
us.
You look at this list. There's enough dudes here who are between the 13th and 8th best player on your team, right?
Right. And that's really what you're getting here. You're not getting stars out of the expansion draft. We'll talk about that in just a second. But it is a difference from years past. In that year, you got 10 picks. So you could go pick more on assets and try to do some flipping, whereas that's not as easy this time around. There's also free agency now, so that changes the game just a little bit as well.
We got free agency?
Huh? Yeah, man, you're a little late to the game. Let's go,
guys.
Kalen's coming back.
No, but they've gotten, in years past, Tommy McNamara, Patrick Mullins, it's been good players. It's not just like the 13 to 18 range. Those guys are fixtures for their clubs.
I'm not sure that they're attacking players in this one. Let's talk a little bit about who's available.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have picked Tommy McNamara back then either.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of the mullet in those days.
Well, no, he was coming off an ACL, though, and you made me take Quincy Amarapa off my list because of his name.
All right, fine. You're going to take Quincy? Is that the deal?
No, relax.
Throw some names out, Dave. Who do you like?
Well, so the three big ones, not three big ones, but Colorado, Mark Birch, Bobby Burling, Jared Watts. I'd assume Jared Watts gets taken early because he's a legit MLS center back coming off a great year. And
the cap hit is right. And that's expensive. There's also a big point there. The cap hit is important here. You're not going out there and taking a guy probably that makes $300,000, $400,000. This is an opportunity to get some bargains. Unless somebody out there says, hey, we really want this guy. We don't want to go through entry. We don't want to go through waiver. We don't want to trade for him. We want you to take him, and we'll flip you some allocation or something else in return. That's kind of how that whole trade thing will go down. I like the Jared Watts for sure. Who do you like out of these? I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't think there's really many attacking pieces to be had. I don't think there's a whole lot of Tommy Max or Patrick Mullins.
Jacob Peterson, Javon Watson.
Jacob Peterson's a free agent, so I don't know if you'd really want to go that route. So
wait, why do we not want free agents again? This is good prep for me.
Look, if you take a free agent.
You have to sign them to a contract.
No, you don't. If you take a free agent, you can negotiate as if you were the team that had them before, which means you can give them as big of a raise as you want, whereas other teams are capped in the raise that they can give. So if I'm Jacob Peterson, Sporting Kansas City can give me any number that we negotiate. But if I go to a different team, I can only get a percentage raise. So if you're one of these expansion teams and you take Jacob Peterson, you now have that ability to give him that higher raise. So that would be the opportunity you'd be in, where if you don't think you can get him in free agency, but you can if you pay him a bigger amount, you might take him. And look, this is all confusing stuff, and you better believe that GMs around the league have been grinding on this ever since the list came out. To them, I think it was yesterday. They've been trying to figure out what's going to happen. They've been on the phone. Bocanegra, Eels, McDonough said, people are calling us. I talked to Manny Lagos the other day. He's like, yeah, my phone is blowing up. People are trying to make deals.
There are a couple of names that I think have to get taken. Raymond Gaddis. Guys are starting MLS fullback. Making about $100,000, we think.
150K according to the Players Union.
I think Chris Duvall's another good guy.
I agree.
Who's a starter.
He's from Atlanta.
He's from Atlanta. There you go. I think he's an MLS starter. I think he's a solid player. I know he's a little expensive. I think, especially if you're Minnesota, I think you have to take Dom Oduro. The guy scores goals. He makes things happen, especially for teams
he's also
that
free
don't
agent.
Have a consistent creator.
I think you can take him if you give him that raise, but he can say no to you. You could take him in the expansion draft, and he can say no to you. And I think that's another thing. There's going
to
be
Let's get Dom Oduro to branch out a bit and try and get on some more MLS clubs. You know, I feel like he's been stuck in the mud for so long. We just want to get him out there. Experience the world, Dom. See the sights.
Yeah, come on. One club, man. Jeez, come on, man. Clint Irwin, I think, is a really good bet to be taken by Minnesota.
I would take Javon Watson in a heartbeat. I played with him in Houston. But I think he's gotten better since then. He's played multiple positions, center mid, center back, right back. He's got athleticism. I think he's the kind of switchblade that you want to pick up in a draft like this.
Switchblade, I like that.
Yeah, watch
out. You're keep a gangster.
Also, you should follow Javon on Instagram. He's the best Instagram follow.
Really?
Literally, it's just him chilling on like different extravagant cars. I don't know if they're all his, but Javon, let me come hang out with you, man. I want to ride. I want to be cool with you. Dude, best dressed too.
Fast and the Furious. We got the next
Jamaican
star
guys
fast
across
the
league, by far and away the best dressed guys
really?
In MLS.
Like we're gonna have to do a whole special room, just on
it's wild
MLS.
So Javon Watson right now is the Roman Pierce of this crew that we're creating alongside Michael Parker as Paul Walker.
Oh yeah, no, he needs if he was in Atlanta with those like low riders down there. He would crush the Instagram game. Many likes.
I'm in for that. Soshis, by the way. MLS Soshis going on. So go vote for those. I'm going to throw out Baji Husidic. I think he's a good choice for some folks out there.
I just didn't say that because I didn't want him to have to leave LA, man. Don't call him out like that. He's not available. Let's re-protect Baggio. Hashtag it.
Yeah, Minnesota's not going to be as friendly to his vegan
he's
brand.
He's hanging on
think.
The beach.
Steven Betashore is a guy that could get picked up here. But I think, as I said, since one pick will do it, I think Clint Irwin is likely to get snatched up by Minnesota United. I'm with you on Jared Watts. I like Javon Watson as well. Chris Duvall. I think Kintrebe, depending on how you want to say his name, is an option.
City he goes to.
Because I think Minnesota want to pick up guys they think whose value is going to rise and who are a deal, especially in a draft like this where they're coming from within the league. And Tribbett's a guy who started about 20 games for a playoff team last year, had some struggles. I'll be the first to admit that. But I think a lot of folks think that he's got some serious upside there.
Two of the guys I think in midfield, Callum Mallis and Mohamed Saeed. I think they're both MLS level starters-ish.
Right.
The two dudes who will do some dirty work next to whatever big name player if you put next to them in midfield.
I think Colin Warner, my grandma's name's Colleen. That's my excuse here. Colin Warner, I think, is a holler there. Harry Shipp is a guy that a lot of people have liked over the years, but hasn't really got playing time in Montreal.
And a lot of people also.
Maybe Minnesota United might go that route. We'll see about that one. I mean, St. Ricketts is in this, but you'd have to use an international spot on him, but he's not on a big cap number. He's also a Toronto guy. So
Matt Doyle compared. Didn't
he
compare? Didn't he compare Harry Shipp to Lee Wynn?
Something like that.
That's strong.
I think I saw that.
That's a little
that seemed
strong.
A bit much. But
yeah, I think
international guy that I would take. Mm-hmm. I don't care the cap hit or the international spot. Waylon Francis. That guy's a starter for Costa Rica. He was phenomenal for Columbus last year. He wasn't bad this year, even though the team was bad defensively. They might not take him because everyone likes what's out there rather than like a guaranteed thing. That's just the nature of, I don't know, sports and human beings.
Yeah.
But he's a good player.
What about Jermaine Jones? That could be one. He was seen at a Lakers game courtside with Chris Klein and Pete Hivanhas. That could be one where you pick up his rights or you use him to flip something in a trade. I don't know. Maybe somebody's interested out there.
I wouldn't want to wade into those waters, man. I don't want to get on Jermaine's bad side. Let him hang out in LA where he's happy. He's cool. If I'm Atlanta though, I would try and find a way to get to Marcus Beasley. If you're looking for an experienced vet, him and Carlos Bocanegra, of course, have such a close relationship over the years. Be fantastic for an expansion club in the locker room.
This is where free agency comes in.
Right, so he's a free agent.
Houston are kind of playing around a little bit, maybe with bringing him back or not. I know Cabrera has mentioned he would love to have him back. But I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Beasley make his way to Atlanta, which I think would be really cool to see for an expansion team.
I think it'd be great.
I think Beasley and Will Johnson are two guys that could end up on one of these two teams through free agency.
I think Will Johnson especially could be a guy that you're looking at as a leader, perhaps, or a guy with experience. He's got two MLS Cups, almost had three, would have been his third with Toronto FC, didn't happen for him there.
What's the deal with Robbie Keane? Like, let's say Minnesota wants to get him. Is this the platform where you get him? Because he's unprotected.
Right. I think this is the platform, probably. But you would need to have had probably previous conversations. I'm not sure Robbie wants to go to Minnesota and play on turf. I think Minnesota are looking for guys overall throughout their roster, and there's been a lot made of the lack of moves so far. I think they're looking for guys that'll come in, be blue collar, match up with that part of the club, be on an affordable cap hit price, and be guys that maybe can grow into things down the road.
But you talked to Manny Lagos, right, at MLS Cup. What did he tell you?
Yeah, I mean, we had a chat. It was off the record. And you'll get some insight on that.
For Kaelin to blow up and off the record
chat. Just a little chit-chat. But my feeling is that that's the route that they'll go here. They'll try to pick up guys that they think match up with their club ethos. They'll try to pick up guys that they think are value guys are on a good contract that maybe they'll outperform in years in Minnesota, which is important to them. And of course they're going to have to spend some money. They've been scouting in South America. They got a bunch of allocation money, all expansion clubs do, so there'll be some spending coming, but I don't think this is a team you're going to see going out there spending many millions of dollars.
I think part of the reason also you've seen is they haven't had a coach, you know. Now they have a coach, so it makes sense to have a guy in charge to make these decisions. So now is the time for them to hit the ground running. They've been criticized for not making moves yet, but now that you have your manager in place, you've got this mechanism to add players. Now the next month with Super Draft coming, all that, now's the time for them to
This is
going to
be a huge week for them. And, of course, they're negotiating with Christian Ramirez as well. So there's a lot going down.
And they have the number one pick in the Super Draft. So they have the ability to Ebobise?
This is when we need Doyle. He knows all the college kids.
Well, everyone knows Jeremy. He's a USU 20. He signed already with MLS from Duke, which is on the East Coast. It's not in the Pac-12.
Oh. You may not be familiar with it. Look, the expansion draft going down on Tuesday, 2 p.m. Eastern. You can watch the live stream on the MLS Facebook page. Kaylin and I doing our thing. The week will roll on. Of course, the waiver draft hits on Thursday, and then Friday is reentry stage one. And then the next Thursday, December 22nd, is reentry stage two. So things roll on, and then we'll hit the player combine, the super draft. And then 2017 is here, and we're rolling again. That's all we have here. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think of your team's selection, if you're an Atlanta or Minnesota fan, or the players you may have lost, if you're one of the fans from the other teams. With that, we're going to go to the break. We got a special guest coming up. He's got some crow to eat.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Leave it to me as I find a way to be. Consider me a satellite forever orbiting. I knew all the rules, but the rules did not know.
Oh, who better? Who better than Eddie Vedder to lead us in here? The song? Guaranteed. Kaylin, out the door. In his place, been the research bear, been the people are clamoring. They're clamoring for answers. They want to know how you feel. In case you weren't around for this one, you got on the show just recently. Ben, can you just please explain why you've kindly joined us here for the mailbag?
Well, back before the times of Nicholas Lodero, when the Sounders were struggling, when they fired their coach, and all the Sounders fans were wondering, are we going to make the playoffs? I decided to put on Twitter that they had a 0% chance of doing so.
A hot take that, you know, I think actually a hot take that a lot of Sounders fans probably would have agreed with at that point.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they probably would have. And then a week later, I came on and...
He doubled down.
Why wouldn't you? Obviously.
Yeah, you have to.
And they went on to make the playoffs. So really, this whole thing ended like a month and a half ago. I don't know why we're talking about this right now.
Might you? Well, no, because they won MLS Cup now, so they've
completely. But I didn't predict whether they win MLS
but you
Cup
said they
or not.
Even have the opportunity to make the playoffs.
Okay.
Do you feel like maybe I don't know that maybe you helped spark things?
Yeah, they should all be thanking me. Why are they coming at me? This is all because of me. The Sounders are here because of me. I will tell you that Nelson Valdez was interviewed by our own Football MS's own Diego Pinzone after MLS Cup. And, quote, some journalists said we had a 0% chance of winning, of making the playoffs. So we really got motivated by that.
That's brilliant. I hope that
end
they,
quote.
I hope that they printed that out and put it in their locker room. Like, Ben Bear, Sounders have 0% chance of making the playoffs.
What was a bit disappointing for me personally, I mean, first of all, again, they should have the players should have thanked me when they
said. Your feelings really
I mean,
this scenario
I was in the locker room after the game. I should have been popping champagne with them.
Right.
But I was there interviewing them, and none of them noticed my credentials saying Ben Bear. None of them were like, oh, thanks, bro.
Yeah, they had an opportunity to really bring it up with you. Well,
I mean, if
on the float?
Why are this, why the Sounders not flying me out right now?
Yeah.
I mean, I was hoping.
I thought they were.
did you fall no, off the I was, back no, of the I, was just, I was just trying to get home yesterday.
Last flight out.
Okay, so we're going to give you an opportunity right now, Seattle Sounders fans want to know.
Yeah, they want a guarantee for 2017 of some sort. In the aftermath of this game, our Twitter account, at Extra Time Radio, if you want to tweet at us, just filled up. With people but saying, so hey, was Ben going to be on the show?
Here so I'm are. Supposed to guarantee.
I don't know.
I already gave them one MLS
what's
Cup.
What's your guarantee? Right.
I already gave them. I'm not going to give them another.
So you're
another team deserves to win MLS
so
Cup.
So he's saying so you're guaranteeing that they will win. They'll repeat, basically.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. There's the Ben Bear guarantee. The Seattle Sounders will repeat as 27 MLS
well
Cup
done.
Champions. Let's get in some mail. What do we got?
Alistair Brewer sent us a checklist. Lose Obafemi Martins, lose Ziggy Schmidt, lose Clint Dempsey, fall to last place, then beat the Coach of the Year and Supporters Shield winners, be the only team to win in Colorado, go on the road and beat the best three DP
really
to
hyped.
Win it all.
The Supporters Shield winners didn't Seattle's have the best player, and they lost their second best player halfway through the season.
Yeah.
Nelson Valdez was offside on the Golden Knights.
Did you? Would you? What were you for Halloween? A wet blanket? What?
What was that for Halloween?
I
forgot.
I assume a wet blanket because that's basically.
I mean, I'm just pointing out facts. That's my job.
Okay, all right, gotcha. What else we got?
We have an email here from someone named Charlie Fiction. And he said, thoughts on this possible move, and I believe the possible move that he's discussing is Junior Flores, 20-year-old U.S. youth international who's currently with Borussia Dortmund, too. Ben thinks that's amusing. Rumor to Columbus Crew SC. He said, one, what would you say are realistic expectations for Flores in 2017? Spot starter, regular game day 18. Roster fodder, two. If Flores flourishes, will Berhalter groom him to be Pipa's replacement at the number 10? Three, with only a handful of appearances in the last year for Dortmund, two. Can Columbus even expect a lot?
Thanks for the email,
a player
Charlie.
Like that? Long time first time.
I see Flores playing like 1,000 minutes if he comes. Basically, spot starter. Comes on for the last 30 minutes, that type of role. I mean, obviously, if you're the Crew, you're hoping you can, if you want to extend that loan, he could be Pipa's replacement eventually. Obviously, we'll have to see if this move actually goes down. But I see him more as a spot starter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is in a situation where they're bringing him to start. They're bringing him to see what maybe they could get. And for him, it's an opportunity to get some playing time because he's obviously not getting it with Borussia right now.
I mean, he could have a similar
special
appearance,
jet.
Like
a guy who's a big club, just like to get an opportunity. Yeah, could be that.
I mean, West Ham, Dortmund, but yeah, sure.
I mean, big club.
Comes in,
big
plays
clubs.
Well.
Yeah, come on, bro.
Well, West Ham's one of the best academies in the world. Okay. Everyone knows that. Come on. Seriously, everyone knows that. Borussia Dortmund as well. Breath tweeted at us. He said, next season you should pick one fan for each team to give you weekly predictions along with you. See who's better, common fan or analyst. He calls Philly, although I don't know that I decide on that yet. Because we were wrong about that. A potential for a high-scoring game.
I mean,
MLS Cup
I think that we should say everyone said that.
I think everyone
I'm not sure
said
if
that.
They did. Look, we're going to change some things up in 2017. We want to freshen the show. We want to have more fun. We want to have more interaction with you. I mean, I'll remind you, holler here, the app, if you want your voice on the show. We're going to start using those to basically, you know, kind of like a voicemail system for the mailbag. Or for anything, really. If you've got opinions or thoughts or questions or, you know, you want to rag on Ben Bear a little bit, feel free. At Holler here is the
I mean, you guys
Twitter
can just
account.
Hit me on Twitter for that. I'll take all of that.
Yeah, that's true. He'll just deflect it all on Twitter. But go that route. I mean, we're going to change some things. So if you have suggestions or you want to do something, you want to be a part of this,
Ben's
let us know. At
Extreme
Radio, ExtremeMLSsoccer.com. Yeah.
So that's
Tuesday.
It. Expansion draft coming. Get excited for that. Two more
Juninho
days.
Being
Lots
saying
of moves.
They're saying maybe he
some
wants
rumors
to come back
out there.
To
let me read off
he
some
would go through the allocation
quick,
order.
Club America starting.
I mean, after all that stuff he talked ahead of the CCL final. Right
I mean, he would be perfect if they make an MLS Cup next year, like I'm predicting, and they need the goalkeeper to go forward for a goal. He knows how to score a goal.
Terrence Boyd.
And score their goal.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
True.
And maybe headed to the Red Bulls.
Terrence
that could be interesting.
Julie Stewart Banks basically shot that down.
Shot it down, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Headed ESPN. Yeah. Congrats.
Congratulations to Julie Stewart Banks.
That deal is done. You don't need a transfer
window.
That's
not a rumor. That's a fact. Did we report on that?
Repeating.
And I guess we didn't say
and penalty kicks.
Stanford on repeating.
A lot of championships won on penalty kicks.
Good year of penalty kicks.
Hey, this is all we got here. Congratulations to the 2016 Seattle Sounders MLS Cup champions, their first ever in the 21st MLS Cup. Condolences to Toronto FC, but an incredible season for them. It's been great hanging out with you guys all season long. I mean, we're still going to do it. We'll be back on Thursday. But until then, have a great week, everybody. Have fun. Hopefully you don't lose a player. And if you do, vent at us. Hit us up. You know how to do it.
You're welcome, Sam.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.